The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Kiddos, we are so glad to have you with us today. We want you to see Mommy and Daddy worship. We want you to see us pray. We want you to see us get in the Word. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up right here and sit on the carpet, okay? And you're going to have to be patient with one another because there's not a whole lot of room. But come on up and sit right on the carpet. Every kiddo in the room, please. Okay? And you know what's fun today? In just a little bit, Nels and Ryan come up and read our passage, just like the adults do. And they're going to do a great job. Okay? We got everybody? Anybody hiding? I see you, Nolan. All right. Good. Okay. So your lesson today comes from the very first book of the Bible. Does anybody know what that book is called? Say it out loud if you know it.
Genesis.
And the very first words in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, are in the beginning.
God created heaven and the earth.
Very good. Very good. Okay. So there's two things that I want you to think about today with your lesson. All right, there's two things I want you to take away. Number one, here's what it is. God is creator. Can you say that?
God is creator.
But I want you to put your hand out this time. So put your hand out like this. If I do this, okay, in front of you, face it. Okay, but you're going to do it like this. You're going to say, God is creator. Go with me. God is creator. Do it again.
God is creator.
And you're going to hear in just a minute why you put your hand to your mouth. I'm going to explain that to you, okay? There's another thing I want you to learn. The second thing. God is king. Say it with me.
God is king.
One more time.
God is king.
But this time when you say king, I want you to put on your crown like this. Okay, you got it? All right, here we go. Ready? God is king. Again.
God is king.
All right, so let's do both of them together. Ready? God is creator, and God is king. Okay, so here's what I need you to do. I need you to listen very carefully, because Nels and Rye are going to come up and they're going to read Genesis chapter 1 to us, okay? So will you all listen very carefully?
Yes.
And then I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay?
Okay.
Guys, look this way. All right, you ready? Nels, you're first. Right, you follow, okay? Go up to the microphone here.
There you go. If you just talk right there, you'll be able to, okay? So you're going to read Genesis chapter 1, what? 1 through 14, right? And then, Ryan, you're going to finish out. Okay.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the garden, from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated water under the expanse from under above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, well, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was said, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth.
to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing, which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fulfill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man into our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and all the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase it in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air and our every living creature that moves in the ground. Then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant in the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit to seed in it. They will be in yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
Good job. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? You did a good job. Okay, so, did you listen? Some of us did, right? Okay, now, why do you think when we said God is creator, that we went like this? What do you think, Carly?
Because he's the king of the world.
Well, he is the king of the world, but that's not why. Yep, Ez?
Because he speaks it out.
He spoke it. Did you catch that? So whatever God spoke, what happened?
It was like really loud.
Well, it probably was loud. But also, whatever he spoke, it happened. So here's what we know about God. Whatever he speaks, it happens. So, Will, when you say, I want a candy bar, does it appear in your hand?
No.
Doesn't. But you know what? God, when he speaks, what he speaks happens. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then our second thing, God is king, means that he's ruler. All right, so I want to see if you listen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Tell me one thing that God created. One thing. You know, Lex, one thing that God created.
Toys.
You know what? He did, but that's not there. But yes, he did give you toys. Every good and perfect gift. That's right. Noah.
Us.
Very good. That's one thing. How about another one? Riker.
Giving you grace.
Grace. Yes. Very good. Yes, he does give us grace. But can you think of something he created? Did you listen? Okay, can you think
of anything? It's giving you love and kindness.
Okay, good. And you're not wrong, but two more things here. Ian.
Light.
Light. Very good light. And one more. Nolan.
Dark.
Well, darkness are there. Yeah, but you're on the right track. One more. Place?
Heaven and the earth.
Heaven and the earth. Very good. Okay. Now, what did God say after he created those things? He say, you know what? That was bad. Is that what he said?
No.
He say, I guess that was okay. Is that what he said?
No.
He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? It was what? Say it out loud.
It was good.
It was good. And did you catch what he said when he made Adam and Eve? What did he say? He not only said it was good, he said what? He said it was, you're on the right track. What, Carly?
Don't eat the apple.
Well, you're right. And you can study your Bible. That's good. That's good. Yes.
Don't eat the apple.
That's right. Okay. It was very good. Can you say that? It was very good. Okay, so what two things do I want you to remember? You're going to go back and work hard on your papers, right? Okay, but what's the thing?
God is creator. Say it with me. God is creator. And God is king. One more time. God is creator. And God is king. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, I'm going to pray over you, and then you go back and work on your papers. And remember, Miss Mel has a surprise for you if you work hard on that. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our kids. Lord, we just we pray for them. We pray that you bless them, Lord. And most of all, we pray that they come to know Jesus. We pray that they trust in Jesus. And Lord, I pray for these parents. I pray for these grandparents. I pray for this whole church family, Lord. And I ask that you, Lord, would continue to lead us in raising these kids, Lord, in fear of you, Lord, in knowing you, and loving you, and seeing you, God. Father, I pray that we're honest with them, Lord. I pray that we confess our sins, God, and I pray, Lord, that we continue, Lord, to seek you, Lord, so we have something to pour into them. We thank you for them. We love them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can go back to your seats.
That was just like when I taught first grade. That was fun. Okay, will you open your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1, because Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to be today, and that's the kids' verse that they were going to do today as far as talking about Jesus being the creator. So open up to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to share something with you while I'm opening. I have the privilege today, and I would ask you to pray for me to officiate a funeral of some close friends, and in that today, they gave me instruction. It's funny how many times when you get the opportunity to do a funeral, the people will say, we want it to be short. And telling a pastor that you want him to talk about Jesus for a short period of time is like telling Donald Trump not to tweet, okay? That's just the way it is, all right? So we got to understand those things, all right? So pray for me today in that, but I have an opportunity to talk about Jesus, and what a great opportunity that is. All right, so here's where we're at here. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17. And I'm going to go ahead and read that, and I'm reading from the ESV. And here's what it says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So there's no greater privilege for a pastor to get to speak about the magnificence of Christ, about who Jesus is, about his glory. And that's what I get to do today. And instead of having a point of emphasis, what we're going to do is completely different, because we've got a lot to do. We're going to pray together at the end today. And so I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. But here's what I'm going to pray in just a moment for you. I'm going to pray that God would soften our hearts, because we're going to go through lots of scriptures reminding us who the Lord Jesus is. We're going to go through scripture after scripture, speaking about his magnificence, his wonder. And so I'm very excited to do that. But it's an honor for us to be able to see his glory through the truth of the Bibles that we hold. And none of us, not one of us, have enough words to describe his matchless worth. Not one of us can adequately communicate his wisdom and his thoughts. It's beyond us. So this passage that we're going to look at today, and we're just going to kind of break it down, is extraordinary. And there's no doubt that when Paul wrote this letter to the church of Colossae, he wrote it refuting some things that were being taught. He was discounting some false teaching about Christ. But I also believe, as he writes here, that this was a moment of worship for him, because he breaks out in talking about who the Lord is, and he worships and how he communicates it. So I strongly encourage you in your time this week in the scriptures that you meditate on these words. You meditate on what these words say about who Jesus is. So we're taking a break from the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to take a different approach. And we're just going to go through the scriptures. We're going to touch on a few points. And I pray that just like this was for Paul, that this is worship for you. So let me open us up in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together, God. And we ask you, Lord, to do your work. We pray right now, Lord, that your spirit would soften us. That many of these passages, Lord, we probably heard before. Some of them, God, we may not have heard. But here's what we ask you, God. We ask you that you soften our hearts. We ask you that you give us ears to hear, Lord, as we take in the magnificence of our Lord Jesus. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me start off right off the bat with reading about the throne of Christ. This comes from Revelation chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. And here's what it says. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So look with me at the first part of verse 15, and here's what it says. It says, "He is the image," he being Jesus, "of the invisible God." Exodus 33:20 says this, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.'" So here's what the scriptures clearly teach, that no man who is alive can see God because he's spirit and live. But this scripture tells us this, but Jesus, who is God incarnate, came to the earth in human form. And it tells us that he's the exact representation of God. He's the exact likeness of God. And because there was no hope for us to reach God, and there wasn't, he made himself low. He humbled himself so you and I could be rescued. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of Jesus in this way. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. John 14:9 says this, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So here's the question. What the Apostle Paul is saying to us, do you want to see what God is like? Do you want to see God's nature? He's saying, look, Jesus reflects his character in every way. In every way. Here is as clear as we can make it. Jesus is God. Remember, He's Emmanuel, God with us. Colossians 2:9 says this about Jesus. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And if this was not true, then the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for you and made for me, it would all be in vain. And we would all be pitied and still under the chains of sin and death. But as Paul says, and if we grasp what he's writing here, we say right along with him, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the next part in verse 15. What does it say next? It says he's the firstborn of all creation. So right off the bat, Paul speaks about Jesus and he reminds us that he's eternal. That he's always been. That he's existed before creation, long before creation. And it refers to the fact that there is no one, and I mean no one, that is worth more. That has more value. That has more worth. And the Father was pleased to give all the rights and privileges to his Son, Jesus. Now, contrary to what Jehovah Witnesses teach, and contrary to what the Mormons teach, we have to understand that when these folks knock on our door, they're coming with this premise, that Jesus was created. So when you have one of these folk come to your door, you have to get down to who Jesus is. Because here's the truth. Many times, they sound a lot like what the scriptures say. But we have to get down. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Okay? So let's just say this. If Jesus is not God, then our faith is futility. He was the first to have victory over death. And I don't know about you, but that resume, just the first two things that we've said about God, just about who Jesus is, that sounds a lot like deity to me. How about you? Yes. Absolutely. Okay? So Jesus being the firstborn also shouts volumes about what? His sovereignty, his rule, his reign. No matter what goes on here on the earth, God's never like, I didn't see that coming. Shoot. That's not God. Okay? He has supremacy and reigns over all things. He reigns over everything. And he's the rightful heir. And all things will be his. Listen to Psalm 89:27. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Put your finger on verse 16 for me. Look at the first part there, what it says. It says, for by him all things were created. So this is an incredible thought. It was the mind of Jesus that planned everything that we see. Everything that Nels and Rye read about in Genesis chapter 1. The known, the unknown universe. Our world are all the work of his hands, done by his perfect will and brought forth by his power. John 1:1-3 says this, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, not anything made. There was not anything made that was made. Not only did the Lord create everything that is composed of matter, but He also created everything in the spiritual realm by His power and by His design. Look at the next part. It says, and for Him. See those words? And for Him. When man faces trials, when man faces difficult seasons, or I like to say where the rubber meets the road, we often wrestle with life's deepest questions. What is my purpose? Today, as I have the opportunity to speak about Jesus at this celebration of life, many people, while they see that body, will be thinking, what is the purpose of this? What is the meaning of all this? And see, here's what we have to understand. And here's what the Lord makes clear. Here's what Paul is making clear. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the meaning. And I believe it was D.A. Carson that said this. I think it was, but this, I believe this is his quote. But he said something along these lines. He said, Jesus is the end for which all things exist and the goal for which all things are intended. And all things move toward Him, willingly or unwillingly. So even in my ignorance of that fact, even if I'm ignorant of that fact, why on the earth, Philippians 2:10 brings into light that every man, all of which were made in the image of God, every man will for all eternity bring glory to Jesus. Every man. And this is true for us, whether by God's grace we live eternally with Him. And it's also true whether we live under His wrath, separated from Him for all eternity. This is true for the church, and this is true for those outside His church. So here's what Philippians 2:10 says. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Please put your finger on verse 17, and I want to look at that first part there. Look what it says. He is before all things. In Revelation 22:13, we read these words. They're Jesus' words. And here's what He says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is outside of time. He has always been, and He will always be. And He has no rival. He has no equal. There's not a yin and a yang going on here, okay? He rules over all. And as we've said over and over again, there is no one that is worthy of worship and adoration and praise more than Him. So look at the next part. And in Him all things hold together. So just a few moments ago, we were teaching the kids that God is Creator, right? But here's what's true. Jesus did not only create all things, but this scripture tells us that He preserves all things and He sustains all things. He's the glue that holds all things
together. So it was not just his power. It was not just his words that brought everything to be. And God said. And God said. It's not just that. But it's his power that also keeps it. He keeps it. Think about that for a moment. Everything that you see, Jesus keeps it by his power. He sustains it by his power. That means without his power, nothing would exist. That also means no one would exist. And it's just one more reason for us to worship. No wonder Paul writes that whatever we do it for the glory of God. That whatever we find ourselves doing, we do it unto the Lord for his praise and his honor and his glory. Just one more reason of many to worship. So he holds the universe together. He holds the galaxies and the celestial bodies together. Atoms, compounds, molecules. Not my forte, but others in here, you know all about that. Okay? But he cohesively holds all these things together. He prevents everything from falling into chaos. Everything held together by his words. It's all under his control and his ruling hand. Hebrews 1:3, the second part says this, and he holds the universe together by the word of his power. By the word of his power. And here's what this scripture also reminds us. See, the Bible also speaks a very sobering truth. It reminds us that a day is coming where Jesus will stop holding all things together. Revelation speaks about this. 2 Peter, the scripture I want to read to you, speaks about that. Listen to these sobering words. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in life and holiness and godliness? So we end today with this. The Lord is also going to restore all things. Restore all things to their original state. Restore all things to his glory, to where he meant things to be, as we said to the kids. And it was good. It was very good. He's going to bring it all back to where it was when he first created the world. When this world that is broken, when this world that is hurting, when this world that is wrought and tainted with sin, he's going to bring it all back to where it was before that. Everything will be restored to its glorious state. Jesus says himself in Revelation 21:5, "Behold, I am making all things new." I don't think you believed me when I said this was going to be short, did you? But look, it was. But I want to close with blue letter, okay? Here's blue letter for us. And I want you to think about this, okay? What we mean when we say blue letter, if you're visiting today, is this. How do I apply today what I've read about Jesus? How would Jesus have me respond? Because here's what we know about the Word of God. Every time we sit under it, it's going to cut. It's going to separate soul from spirit. It's going to reveal the intentions of our heart. And that's what God wants to do. So I pray that we have ears to hear. Because if we have ears to hear, we've heard the magnificence of Christ. We've heard how worthy He is of our worship. And we've heard that our life is being wasted if our pursuit is not Him. Because everything exists for Him and for His glory. So here's Blue Letter. First, very simply, Jesus is the only one that is worthy of your adoration, that is worthy of your praise, that is worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your free time. He's worthy of pursuit. He should be the mark. He should be the aim. And all things are because of Him. That's first. Second, and this one's hard. This one's hard for me, and this one's hard for you, especially when those rubber meet the road times come. And they come. When things are hard. Maybe we've been in a difficult season for a very long time, and sometimes we wrestle with this truth. We wrestle with this fact. But He understands you and I better than we understand ourselves. He knows you and I better than we know ourselves. He knows you and I better than the closest loved one in our circle. So with understanding that truth and applying who Jesus is, we have to understand that He knows what we need better than we do. He knows what we need better than we do. Because remember, you are saved if you are in Christ Jesus, and praise God for that. But let me also remind you that you are being saved. And what do we mean when we say you are being saved? You are being sanctified. You are being made more and more like Jesus. So again, regardless of my circumstances in front of me, and sometimes they're awful, but regardless of my circumstances in front of me, the Lord says this is all for an eternal purpose. I have a purpose in here to make you more like me. There's a purpose for you to grow in knowing my word. There's a purpose in having you draw closer to me. There's a purpose in those in your circles seeing my glory. And even though things are hard, and even though it looks like you're not going to get out of the situation, there's a purpose for you in saying to those in your circles, yes, this is hard, but my God is still good. That's the second purpose. And then third, we must understand that again, because all these things are true, you and I are on mission. We have been sent to speak of the glories and majesties of Christ. So I want you to think about those things. This week in your quiet time, meditate on this scripture, if God so leads you.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.